We've just had a reading from Isaiah that we had a few weeks ago where God is saying, what is it that I really ask of you? It's not that you make a show. It's not that you follow these rules, but that you change yourself within your heart. We had a psalm that said, I know this isn't what you want, God, for me to do all of these pious things. I know you want to create a new spirit within me. We had a gospel reading that said, what is true piety? What is true prayer? And they seem to be all saying, it's got to do with what is inside us, not what is visible, what is showy on the outside. And then what do? We come to church, we have a service, and the one day of the year when we have these three readings saying, our spirits are what needs to change and be moulded into God's spirit, we walk out of here with ash on our forehead. No other day of the church do we leave with something visible on us for the outsiders to see that we've done something different on this day, but on this Ash Wednesday. So it seems to me that we then follow this tradition, which in some senses is opposed to the readings. And that makes me wonder why. What is it that we do? What is it that we're trying to do? When I was debating this with a friend of mine a few years ago, when I'd only just become a priest and I was about to do the first Ash Wednesday service, she said to me, it's called the imposition of ashes. This is what I've never gotten. Why are they imposed? What is it about it being imposed on us this day? And that made it even more controversial for me because I thought, well, who am I, a sinner like everyone else, to impose a cross on anybody's head, to impose upon you a set of rules, a tradition, a regulation on this day when our readings tell us that it's all about ourselves with God? So I looked up the word imposition. And it's got the definitions that you would expect. Forcing your view on somebody else, putting upon somebody else a rule, an opinion, etc., etc. But there's also a really old definition of the word. Does anyone know what it is? No? It's a really, really old definition of the word imposition, which means blessing. Blessing by the laying on of hands. And that made me think, how can the ashes be a blessing? What is it about what we do today that is a blessing? And I came up with this answer. It's a bit of a convoluted answer, but I hope you'll stay with me. Traditionally, the ashes that we put on somebody's forehead are the burnt palm crosses from the previous year. So these crosses that we receive on a Sunday, that is a joyous Sunday with the celebration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, though we know what the end of the story is going to be. So we celebrate with a sense of dread, knowing what will happen next. We then burn those to put on our heads at the beginning of Lent. So it's a little bit like we'll have the mark of a celebration gone wrong, a celebration unfulfilled. So keep that in mind, a celebration unfulfilled. A few years ago, I went to British Columbia and was very fortunate enough to catch that train that goes all the way through the beautiful mountains and you see all of the forests, and it was absolutely amazing. And the guides were telling us that when the trees, when they have the bushfires in the mountains in British Columbia, the spruce trees, they all die. And I was like, they die? And they said, yep, they die. So they don't regrow again, they don't resprout, they don't, no, they die, they completely die. And I was stunned because I, of course, was used to an Australian bushfire. And what happens after an Australian bushfire? There's all that regrowth and that regeneration and that possibility of something new. And when I explained that to the guide, he was stunned. He'd never thought of that. No, they completely die. And that's why it's just so devastating for the forests, because it then takes 150 years for a new forest to grow in British Columbia. So celebrations that are unfulfilled And that little shoot of regeneration that comes from fire, that comes out of ashes, I decided would be our symbols for today. Today, this year is the 15th anniversary of the Canberra bushfires. And also, of course, we had the dreadful fires earlier this season at Tarago and at Kawoola. So Jen Collier got me these logs that we have here, these charred and burnt logs, and they come from Tarago. And for the people who lose things in bushfire, it represents the complete devastation of everything that they have hoped for. All of their hopes and their dreams, the things that they've worked a long time to make, are just burnt away with no coming back. And in some senses, that's what can happen to our lives. We try really hard. We do lots of things. In the Christian sense, we do works. We try out for our works to be what makes us good in the sight of God. And then something happens and we're just knocked down. And what brings us up again, of course, is the grace of God. And I see the grace of God in Ash Wednesday in the shoots that come out from the base of a eucalypt tree that looks like it's completely dead. And it's completely ruined. But within weeks, sometimes even within days, I know I lived in the part of Canberra where the bushfires came, and within days, the little bluebells came up again. And it was only weeks before there was greenery on those blackened trees. They were blackened for many years, and today as I walk through the bush, they're still misshapen from that fire, but they're growing again. I would say by the grace of God, because that's the way that he made them. And that's what he does in our lives. Our lives, for all that we can try and indeed succeed, a fire comes along and it's burnt away. But through God's grace, we're never alone, and that's never the end of the story. Because through God's grace, we are able to pick up and rest ourselves in the arms of God, and God will walk with us, and God will cause those new little pinky, greeny leaves to regrow in our lives. And for me, that's what Lent allows us to do. It gives us time to remember that a lot of things have burnt. For me, a lot of things got burnt this year. Not bad things, not huge things. Just little things, everyday things. Sometimes people say to me, but I'm not as bad as that. Nothing's gone wrong in my life. And I then say to them, but think about what the seven deadly sins are. Does anyone remember what the seven deadly sins are? I've written them down just in case. So, they're wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. Okay? So wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. They're not in themselves actions. They're attitudes. So gluttony, to eat, there's nothing wrong to eat. But to overeat is to be gluttonous. Don't know the proper word for it. There's nothing wrong with trying to do your best, but to think that you're better than others, that's pride. So each of us in our lives have had something in this last year when we've gone just a little bit over what the attitude should have been. And isn't it good in some sense that we get the chance for those to be burnt away in Lent so that we can start again, clean and be renewed? So as I impose the ashes on you today, think of it as God's blessing, God's promise of God's grace, that no matter what happens in each one of our lives, God will cause new growth and new life and will water what God has started. And we just need to be open to that.